So our scripture lesson today is from John. It's chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And he's talking about being the vine that we just had in the children's story. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Already you're clean. Okay, sorry, a little technical problem there. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But this is my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And so I call this the true vine. So last week we talked about sheep, and this is sort of a related scripture. It's just a different example of what he's talking about. So I already told you last week, I don't know very much about sheep. I know even less about grapes, okay? The only thing I know is the guy that lives across the street from me has a wonderful grape harbor, and the deer really love to eat his grapes. So he found something that you can spray on those that keep the deer from eating. I don't know how accurate that works for him, because last Sunday when I was leaving for church, I saw two big deer walking in his backyard. So maybe he hasn't put it on there yet, or maybe they've decided it doesn't taste that bad even with that on it. And so for Israel, this idea of this grape vine is something that they would have all been familiar with. And so when Jesus tells these stories, it's things that maybe we struggle with a little bit because we don't all farm and we don't all have grape vineyards. But for people then, it would have been pretty common. On one of the coins in Israel, it actually had a grapevine on it. So anytime it says vine, because you might think of some weedy vine that we see around here, they're always talking about grapes. And so what Jesus is telling people is that just because you're from Israel or you're Jewish does not make you part of the true vine of God. So one of the problems with the Jewish people becoming the chosen people, they sort of thought that that gave them an alley-alley all-in-free. That no matter what was going on or what they did, they were still connected to God because of their chosen people. So this is from Isaiah. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So kind of confirming what I just said. And the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. So in this part of Isaiah, Isaiah is saying, God tried to make you guys special, but you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, that's not just true for Jewish people, because you can find people that are Christians that do the same thing. So whether you think that if you belong to and I've used Methodist since that's where we're at, if you belong to a Methodist church, automatically makes you part of that vine of Jesus, that wouldn't be true either. If you were Baptist, if you were Episcopalian, whatever it is, just because you belong to that church doesn't mean that you're necessarily part of God. It requires more than just membership. So I put in here any kind of external qualifications, church membership, attendance. It's funny to me now that when you read any articles and people say they go to church, that means they might go once a month. Where when you used to ask somebody if they said they went to church, you knew that probably meant they went almost every week. But that's not the way people see that. And so that attendance, that going to church, does not make you part of this vine. And so to be saved, to be part of that vine we've been talking about, it requires a living fellowship with Jesus. Jesus is that vine of God, and that we may be joined to God through our life with Jesus. Now, he gives us some, I looked up on how you take care of these vines. And I think if you look at the way we take care of the vines to get them to grow, you can see how that relates in our own lives. So to become the best vine possible, so in our case, how do we become the best Christian possible? The soil has to be prepared. So you have to have this base understanding of what's going on. I used to listen to a guy on the way to church, but he moved him back 15 minutes, and so I haven't been able to hear him. But there's two new guys, and I don't find them as interesting just because of the way they do the service. But one of the things they were talking about today was getting people ready to understand God coming into their lives. And I thought, well, here you go, because that was nice of them to help me with this soil being prepared. Because it's about, do we get ourselves ready? Just like they had to get the soil ready. When I was talking to somebody today about farming, who was that? Joe. I was talking to Joe about farming. And I asked him if they got everything done. He said, oh, they're about half done. Well, they just didn't go out there and throw corn or bean seeds in the ground and that they just grow. And it takes work. They either plowed the field or if they drilled, they did that. But you have to get it ready. What this is saying for us, in order for this vine to grow, for us to become part of God's kingdom, we have to be prepared. Now, one of the things I didn't know is the first 3 years, they apparently prune these things all the time because they have to be cut back. And they don't produce any fruit for the first 3 years either. I didn't know that. I thought if you did the grapes in the ground, that year you'd have grapes. Apparently, that's not true. It takes 3 years for grapes to grow on them, based on what I read. And they plant them, the original plants, 12 feet apart. Now, I've never really noticed I don't know anything about grapes, but I can tell you what happens when you plant things too close, because our neighbor across the street planted pine trees, and they were all about this tall when he planted them, and they were all about 5 feet apart. 30 feet tall later, they all were right together. And so he had to go in and cut out about every other one. But you know what? When they grow like that, so close together, the sides that were growing into each other, they're kind of dead and there's nothing there. And so he finally ended up cutting them all down. But along the side, they cut down two or three over there. And the ones that face us that had the other tree in them, just nothing really grows there. It's just like half a tree and the other part is gone. And so they have to be separated appropriately in order to grow. And then I told you the first 3 years, they cut back the vines because that's how the best fruit will be produced 3 years later. Well, for us, and I've talked about this before, I'm sure, that sometimes when people join the church or start coming to church, they go, oh, well, I'm done. I'm going to church. Well, that's just the beginning. And so how are you going to learn more about the Lord? And how are you going to get a closer relationship? And so the upside of the time that we live in, you have lots of choices. I have a Bible app on my phone, and so the one I'm doing now is supposed to take me all year. I don't see how that's going to happen. But it's reading through all the New Testament, all four books of the New Testament. And so I'm finishing up Mark today based on where I read last night. But you can hear on radio, you can go to the internet. For my class, I was really trying to find a paper that Martin Luther wrote in 1567. I could found where people wanted to talk about the paper and tell him what he did right or wrong, but I could never find the original. So sometimes the internet's helpful and sometimes it's not. But you have different ways of going out. You're not restricted to just coming to church or going to Bible studies or reading the Bible. You have so many more opportunities. The question is, do you take advantage of those opportunities and use them? And so the reason I had the dead branch, so apparently on a grapevine, it sort of divides into two branches. The one will bear fruit and the other one will not. It didn't really say why that happens that way. It just happens. And when it talks at the end of that scripture I read about taking the wood and throwing it in the fire, And they don't have very much wood in Israel. There are just not a lot of trees. When we were there, you just don't see trees like we see here, that we just take for granted how many trees we have. You'd think, well, they'd use that wood in the fire. Well, the wood's worthless. The reason they're going to throw it in a fire is because you can't do anything with it. It's too soft to make anything out of. And so it just doesn't have any value at all. And so that's why they say, well, you're going to throw it into the wood pile and burn it, because it doesn't have any value. What Jesus is trying to tell us here is, how are we going to become valuable? Or are we going to be just like that dead stick, that barren branch of the vine, and just needs to be cut off and thrown away and burned, because there's nothing going on with it? So when he's telling this story from the Jewish point of view, that's because they refused to listen to him and they didn't accept him, because they didn't view him as the Messiah. And even the ones that might have thought he was the Messiah, he wasn't the Messiah most of them were looking for. They wanted a Messiah that was going to lead them to conquer the Romans, and that's not what he was. And so probably the ones that even thought, oh yeah, he really is the Messiah, would have been so disappointed in what he did or didn't do that they would have never thought he was the Messiah. Now for Christians, we can be like those barren branches too. So there's a couple different ways. One is, we profess that Jesus is our Savior, but we don't really practice that. We go, oh yeah, I'm a believer. And then you see the way they treat people. I was thinking about there's a sermon that John Wesley did where he talks about, part of it is earn all you can earn. It isn't really about earning all you can earn, because from our point of view, when we think, that's okay, just drop stuff. When we think of earning all we can earn, a lot of times we think that means people are going to be dishonest with us, that they're going to put their thumb on the scale when we buy the meat, that when we're buying gas, it's not quite the measure it's supposed to be, it's less than that. But then he goes on to say, it's okay to earn whatever you can earn. He said you have to be honest with people. You have to be truthful with them. So one of the things that, by being a banker for a long time, you'd see some stuff that people did, sometimes to family, sometimes to friends, that were awful. And still, my worst example of this ever is, I had a family who had a single daughter, and the daughter was always worried that mom and dad were going to do something different with the house. I don't know what they thought they were going to do. So she was on them and on them and on them, and so finally said, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll just deed the house over to you. And so they did that. A year later, they're all together at Thanksgiving, and she says to them, when are you guys going to move out? And they said, well, we're not planning on moving out. She goes, yeah, we're selling our house, and we're going to move in here. You guys need to get out. And they said, well, what do you mean? They said, you gave me the house. I want to move in. You got to get out. So it's one thing that she threw mom and dad out of the house, but mom and dad, they had retired. They weren't still working. So even if they'd wanted to change houses in the normal course of events, they would have sold their house, taken that money, and bought a smaller house. But they didn't get to do that because she kept the house. They didn't get the money. So they're in their 70s, and they had to go out and borrow money to move into a house. And so that's still, I think, the worst thing I've ever seen anybody do to somebody, because it was family. I mean, you wouldn't expect family to do that. Now, if any of you are thinking about doing that, there's a legal way to do it to make sure that doesn't happen. See me after service. But people do things like that. And so it's one thing to say, you know, practice what we say we learn, but do we do it when we're around other people? And it's words of faith without deeds. So we believe, but we don't do anything to help those around us that need it. And then we have those who once believed but fell away for whatever reason. A lot of times that is because something happened in their life. If something tragic happens in your life, a lot of times we don't understand why God let that happen, and it's hard for us to believe. It shakes our belief at its core. And so those are the things where we become like that branch, where we've fallen away. So for us, and he talks about disciples at the end of this, how do we become those fruitful branches and bring glory to the Lord? Because that's what we're all to do. And so what we want to become is as close to the Lord as we can. And we're all in different places. Some of us could be really, really close, and some of us could be far away, and some of us could be in the middle. And so there's not one answer that fits everybody. So the two guys I was listening to on the radio, they helped me with this part two today. It's always nice when people... He was talking about when people say, oh, I know everything there is to know about the Lord. I don't need to read my Bible or study. And the guy said, well, do you think that's true? And the one who's the pastor of the church said, well, no, because I don't think we ever really stop learning. And even though we may have a really close relationship with the Lord, it's probably not the best it can be. And as our lives change, things happen in our lives, we're in a different place. Scripture that would have meant one thing one time to us means something different now because we've changed. It's not so much that the scripture changed, it was just the way we read it when we were in that place, we read it now in a different place. And so what I would do is encourage you to never stop that learning what God has to offer each and every day to us. However you decide to do that. And there's a zillion ways. There's books and readings and listening and there's just so many opportunities. But what I would encourage you is don't think you're at a place that you know everything. God is always working in our lives, trying to make us better and better. And so wherever you're at, don't be content with that place, but want to go farther, to become closer to the Lord, to get all wrapped up in that vine we were talking about earlier. So we're going to have communion, and we'll have a reading we're going to do first, and then... we're going to have bread and juice and cups. Going to go back to what has been traditional. If you want the self-made cups, I have some up here. Just tell me and I'll hand you one. And so what we'll do is I'm going to do reading and there'll be places where you join. And I will prompt you as to where you're going to join me. So let's begin. The Lord be with you. And the people said... Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And the people said, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick and fed the hungry, ate with sinners by baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. And God's people said,
"Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And the people said, Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can share in this special moment. You remind us of all you gave up for us, how special we are to you. Let us become that fruitful branch, to become closer and closer to you, to share your love and grace with all those that we come in contact with. Amen.